Good afternoon. It's 12:07. You're tuned to Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Today we're going to be talking, well, about cars and how to get the best deal you possibly can in what can be a very intimidating process sometimes. With me, of course, as usual, it's Susan Burns. Susan, good afternoon.
It's Tuesday, therefore it's Susan.
Yeah, it's and a it's financial focus.
Right. And delighted to welcome a go-to guy for buying cars, a fellow who just loves cars, Steve Morgan. Hello there, Steve.
Hello, Susan. Hello, Sean.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us here today. We'll get to our topic du jour in just a few moments here, but we wanted to check in with one of our regular contributors, at least to our newscasts, and you hear her stories. And Kyle Stokes' stories every week in our State Impact feature on Thursdays. Joining us by phone, it's Ellie Moxley with State Impact Indiana. Ellie, can you hear us okay?
I can hear you okay.
Well, Ellie is with us today with a little bit of breaking news. We heard just an hour or so ago that the Indiana Supreme Court has upheld the statewide voucher program. Ellie, what can you tell us about what you've heard so far?
Well, the challenge is being mounted on the basis that most of the nearly 300 Indiana schools that accept vouchers are religious schools, and the Indiana State Teachers Association kind of led the charge to challenge the state voucher law in court to look at whether or not that would make a constitutional challenge. The fact that the public money in this case, they saw it as going to the religious schools. Now, supporters of the state voucher laws have always argued that this is a choice issue, that it is parents that are getting the tuition money, and they're making the decision to spend it at religious schools. So I think people that have looked at this and that have looked at school voucher issues, I don't think there's a lot of surprises today because, you know, that argument has been upheld before in other, you know, school voucher challenges across the country.
Are you surprised that the decision came so decisively? This was a 5-1 decision upholding the voucher program.
You know, there's a real high burden of proof when you're trying to look at a law and see if it is unconstitutional. In this case, I think that they're following the precedent of a lot of the different voucher decisions we've seen, not just, you know, at the state level, but nationally as well. And in this case, you know, it is the parents making the decision, and, you know, at least that's what the state's lawyers had argued.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but once upon a time, our new superintendent of public instruction, Glenda Ritz, was named in this suit as well. I believe she recused herself. Have we heard reaction from Glenda Ritz this afternoon?
We did. State Superintendent Glenda Ritz was one of the 12 plaintiffs in the original case. You know, she's been involved with the Indiana State Teachers Association, and that's kind of how she got her start and who helped run some of the people that helped in running her campaign. But she said that, you know, when she was elected, that she would she'd step away from this case. There was some questions from state lawmakers whether or not she would be able to faithfully administer the program based on, you know, her past opposition to it. But she has said that she will faithfully administer it, and she reiterated that support today, even though she did send out a statement saying that she was disappointed in the decision of the Indiana Supreme Court.
Now, I know that you and Kyle Stokes have been very busy gathering a reaction and opinion and all that on this. Have you heard a reaction from lawmakers at the General Assembly, other luminaries outside of the superintendent's office?
Haven't heard much from state legislators yet. We did speak with Robert Inlow at the Friedman Foundation for Educational Choice. Obviously, a big proponent of Indiana's voucher program, headquartered in Indianapolis. So, definitely watching this case, he feels that this, you know, just reaffirms the fact that school choice should be the the law of the land here in Indiana. It'll be interesting to see moving forward. Indiana lawmakers are already considering a large expansion of this two-year-old program, and that actually got some questions in the Senate Education Committee hearing last week. Senator Luke Kinley, who voted for the original program, was somewhat concerned that if we do push through some large changes to the voucher law, that might be, you know, violating the spirit of the law as originally intended. But with this, with hearing back now from the state Supreme Court, that might ease some lawmakers' fears moving ahead about what's next for vouchers here in Indiana.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye on it. And I know you and Kyle do a great job reporting to our audience on this. Tell us just briefly before we have to let you go here. This potentially may not be the end of this fight. I know it's done at the state level now, but can a federal case still be brought against the voucher program?
I think it could be. I think that right now one of the questions that the ISTA is working out is what's the next step. I think they still felt, even though this is, you know, the second round for this case, a Marion Court judge, Superior Court judge, last year ruled that this was constitutional. They could, of course, continue to appeal it. But at this point, it's kind of hard to say what the next step will be. It seems like there's a lot of popular support for vouchers here, and that you know, might help define what happens moving forward.
And at this point, talking about expansion, this is already the largest school voucher program anywhere in the country.
I'm not sure if we can say largest. I think it's probably fair to say most expansive. One of the things that's really interesting about Indiana's program, whereas a lot of existing school voucher programs are targeted towards one city or one school district. There are a lot of voucher programs that have the qualification that students must first attend a failing school before they can qualify for a voucher, whereas in Indiana, if you meet the income eligibility requirements, you can take your kid out of public school, no matter how well the public school is doing, and move them to a private school of your choice. So it's considered one of the most expansive because it really does reach everyone into the middle income levels, and it isn't, you know, geographically bound to any one part of the state.
Ellie Moxley is a State Impact reporter and State Impact Indiana covering education. That's a partnership between Indiana Public Broadcasting and National Public Radio. Ellie, thanks very much for taking time out for us today.
And thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. Thanks again to Ellie and to State Impact Indiana for all of their good work covering education. Always a hot button issue in the state of Indiana. We're going to take just a quick break here. When we return, we'll get back to our topic of the day, cars, and getting the best price and the best experience out of your car buying experience, I should say. If you want to get in touch with us with your tips for buying a new or used car, 260-452-1185 or toll free 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Amid the debate on gun violence, some epidemiology. If you're white and died by gunfire, you likely lived in a rural area, opposed strict gun control, and committed suicide. If you're black and died by the gun, you were likely shot by someone else, lived in an urban area, and supported gun control. I'm Neil Conan. Race, class, gun deaths, and gun policy. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
April is Jazz Appreciation Month, and WBOI celebrates with Jazz Fest 2013. It's Friday, April 12th at the Fillmore on Broadway. The St. Francis Jazz Combo kicks off the evening with Tune Fancy, the Todd Harrell Trio, Colin Boyd Trio, and Mark Maxwell and the Sax Experience. Tickets available at our website. That's nipr.fm. Come on to Jazz Fest, April 12th at the Fillmore on Broadway.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne, August 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum online at indianatech.com. tech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and nonprofit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. Details at lakecitybank.com.
It's 12:17. This is Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and we're going to start the conversation this hour with car geek Steve Morgan. Thanks very much for being with us once again, Steve. We're going to talk about the car buying experience, what it takes to have a good one, what you need to know going in, and what it takes to get the best deal. And we want to hear your tips and tricks for getting the best deal. Whether it's the fact that you're a good negotiator, maybe you have a few aces up your sleeve, maybe you just come prepared. Whatever it takes, we want to hear your story. 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Steve, let's start just a little bit before the beginning here, actually. We were talking a little bit before the program started about when do you know that it's time to get a new vehicle or a new to you vehicle anyway. I for example, have a 2001 Focus, 130,000 miles on it. It had been running pretty well. Now it's not running so well
it's
anymore.
It's time, Sean.
It's a little. So you just need to call Steve, get him to come to your house, and give you the hard truth about your car. But this is a question a lot of people ask because many folks want to drive their cars until the wheels fall off. But you get to that point where the car is starting to nickel and dime you. You're getting into thousands of dollars of repair costs. At some point, Steve, it becomes good money after bad. How do you know?
Well, Sean, I think it's a really personal decision, and obviously it probably has to start with the person's budget. Some people are fortunate. They can decide that they want a new car, not necessarily that they need one. But if you're driving, I think you said, a 12-year-old car, the mileage doesn't sound too bad, 132. That car's probably good for more miles. But you have to decide whether you want to trade into something newer, whether you can easily afford it, comfortably afford it, I like to say, and how that new purchase, new or used, might compare to making the repairs to your existing car. I strongly recommend that you have your car checked out by a reputable mechanic. They can maybe give you a list of repairs that the car will need in the upcoming year. I usually have a repair list like that on older cars, and then I prioritize them with the advice of a reputable mechanic, and I work through the repair list if I'm deciding to keep the car. Hmm. So this is a money matter show, and it really comes down, in my view, primarily to money. But again, if money is not of great concern, then I'd also look at your needs. Have your needs changed? I think you were telling us before we aired here that you've had this car about half a dozen years. Well, has your life changed a lot? Some people buy newer vehicles because they have a new child or they have a spouse or something that they didn't have when they acquired that vehicle. So as our needs change, maybe you want to update or upgrade for that reason.
Hmm. And before we move forward into the car buying experience, where do you go to find a new mechanic? Maybe you're new to Fort Wayne or you're new to some place in northeastern Indiana. Do you have any tips for folks to find a reliable mechanic? Because that can be so important, not just when you're trying to keep an old car fresh, but if you want to get a used car checked out, for example, or just need somebody for regular maintenance.
Well, word of mouth, I think, is good for a lot of things. And, of course, nowadays we have computerized word of mouth with what is it, Angie's List. That might be a good place. I think on the website cars.com, there's a section, the car guys from Boston, Click and Clack, who are on your station on Saturday mornings. They have a section in the cars.com website where they mention repair shops in many communities. Fort Wayne has several listed there, and there's sort of a review by people who have done business with those firms. So that and just ordinary word of mouth. Now, obviously, word of mouth, it should be a service that that's similar to yours. So I wouldn't ask somebody who's had body shop work done about engine work necessarily, sure. But you know, if you're doing an apples-to-apples comparison, word of mouth is really good.
It looks like we have our first caller on the line, and of course we invite you to get involved in the program this hour. If you have any tips or tricks for buying a new or used car, maybe some way that you know that you got the best price, well, we'd love for you to share it with us this hour. 260-452-1185 or toll-free at 800-471-9264. And that also goes if you have any horror stories you want to share with us this hour as well. Let's open up the phones and go to Carlito. Carlito, you're on Midday Matters. Good afternoon.
Okay. Carlito, yes. Okay. Well, I'm an auto wholesaler and an auto exporter, and I've spent most of my life in the car business. If you want to get a good deal on a good car, first thing to do is buy a car that is low demand, that appears unattractive for non-mechanical reasons. Hmm. The demand is much lower. You have a lot more negotiating power, and you're going to get a better price out of the box. Secondly, when you go to a dealership, you know, a lot of people will bring in Kelley Blue Book, NADA data, but you should really try to get something a little more relevant, a little more timely with comparables. If you can talk with a wholesaler or somebody who can get you auction sales reports, get you run lists, give you an idea of what the cars are really selling for at the auctions, you can show them to the dealer and, you know, offer them, 2-3% profit over that.
Well,
and then finally, I guess if you just really have to have that car and you're going to try to negotiate hard, you better be prepared to walk away or pay what they want.
Carlito, I see a lot of nodding in this studio here, and let's start with that last one. Maybe one of the most important, Steve Morgan, be prepared to take off, to leave.
Yeah, I think in life, I think sales resistance can come in really handy in lots of venues, and certainly in the car buying process. There are lots of fish in the sea, lots of cars on lots, and you know, one rule is don't fall in love with the car, and do be prepared to walk away if you can't come to terms on a deal that is at least as favorable to you as it is to the other guy. So I think that's good advice.
Carlito, fantastic tips. Thanks very much for sharing today.
Well, yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share them.
Oh, and Carlito, before you go, you mentioned wholesaler run lists and finding that sort of thing out.
Yeah, they're kind of hard to get, but if when we're looking to buy cars, you know, you can get download lists from all the wholesalers, from all the auto auctions out there where you typically buy cars, and we kind of buy nationwide, although we focus on the East Coast because we ship them. You can tell the cars are going to be coming. And if you see a lot of models coming along, it kind of tells you the market might be a little hot or a little soft. It just depends. But more important than that, though, are the sales reports. What did the cars actually sell for at the auction? You know, it's like real estate. What is a comparable?
Yeah.
You know, if you can walk into that dealer and say, hey, you want $20,500 for that car, but I'm looking at the auction reports, and they're going for $15,500. We got a real disconnect here. I should be able to push you down pretty far.
Well, Carlito, again, we appreciate the call, and have a great day.
All right, you guys too, man.
All right. Thanks so much. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. And I want to dive into some of Carlito's other tips here in just a little bit on the program. But let's go back just a bit, Steve. But when you're evaluating, you've decided that you need to get something new or something new to you anyway. When you're making those preparations, you know, obviously you may have a few cars in mind. You might have a price range in mind. What do you need to know to get in place before you decide to venture out to a lot or to a dealer?
Well, I tell people do your homework and do it in advance of hitting the car dealerships, if you hit them at all, because some people believe in buying cars without even going to dealerships, and we can talk about that later as well. But most people do it by going to dealerships. You also mentioned, you know, knowing how much you want to spend or how much you can afford to spend. I tend to start there. I think people have to know where in their budget their car purchase and their car expenses fit. It's widely understood that car ownership is the second largest expense in most household budgets. That tends to remain true for most people. So there's a lot at stake, and you need to know your budget and be firm about your budget. Once you've done that, you want to decide whether you need to finance a vehicle, whether you want to buy or lease. There are lots of questions surrounding the whole financing issue. I generally suggest that people line up their financing or at least shop the financing before they ever set foot on the lot. The dealer might offer to finance at a better rate. They'll certainly try. But you need to know what are the prevailing rates, what would be a good rate and term of, on the loan.
And we got a comment on Twitter just a little while ago from Kevin. Kevin says exactly that. Don't finance through your dealer. Arrange financing somewhere else, credit union, bank, etc., and do your research online. Kevin, we appreciate it. What's the danger to financing through your dealer?
Well, I don't know that there's a danger to financing through the dealer if you've done your homework, if you know that the rate they're offering and any other expenses associated with the loan are fully in line with good deals elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I have personally financed a vehicle through a dealer because when I heard the rate, I knew it was a good one, and the rest of the terms were all acceptable to me. But it's certainly simpler when making your car deal to separate the car purchase from the trade, from the financing, from the insuring, and all of the other parts, moving parts, I might say, of this process.
Well, making the process simpler will ultimately, hopefully, save you money and just make it a whole lot easier.
Right.
We want to hear your car buying tips today. If you have a question or comment, you want to share your stories with us, 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Let's open the phones here. Looks like we have a few callers on the line. We'll go first to John. John, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes. The last two cars that I've purchased, I fully agree that you should know what the car costs the dealer, and you can find that online. And you know they're getting kickbacks for volume at the end of the year, things like that. So there's other incentives built in for them to sell you this car. And the last two times, I went in with a price that I thought was fair and wanted, and I had already contacted people in Chicago, Indianapolis, and Detroit, dealerships there, which you can find online, and told them that I just wanted this car, I wanted to come and pick it up, and I wanted, you know, that would be their whole thing, and that would just add to their volume at the end of the year. They gave me very good prices, and then I could approach the people here in town. And as it worked out, the people here in town agreed at the end. And the costs were much lower than they first approached me with. And it just you just have to do your homework. That's all.
John, great tips, and absolutely, I think that's going to be the moral of the story today, no matter what. Keep your eyes open and
come
prepared.
One other thing?
Sure.
The people here in town would threaten you with, well, you know, if you buy that car and you have trouble, you'll have to take it back to the dealer in Chicago. And I said, no, I won't. You're a Mazda dealer here in town, and you have to provide service to Mazda cars, and it's warranty service. Everybody, every Mazda dealer has to provide warranty service on every car. So it's not a case of, oh, you know, you get it home and something's a little bit wrong, you have to take it back out of town to do that. It just doesn't work that way. You just take it in for warranty work at a Mazda dealer.
And yeah. Susan Burns.
Yeah, and John, I wanted to ask, it sounds like you were mostly looking up other dealers of that same brand.
Correct.
Or were you also looking at some of the online listing services like Craigslist or
Well,
eBay?
I was looking more at other dealers, but I had gone on to get the you can find dealer costs. If you look new car dealer costs online, you can find exactly what, you know, they put the stickers on them, but the sticker cost, you know, they're going to sell you at family prices or, dealership prices and all this. That's not their price. There's a lot lower price because they're getting rebates and kickbacks on volume through the year.
Yeah, and I've got to say that's similar to what I did last fall. And was surprised at the range of prices that was out there.
Yes.
John, we appreciate your call and your good advice. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. We want to hear your tips, your tricks, your stories, both good and, well, we can learn from the bad ones, too, about buying a car and what it took to get that best deal. We do need to take just a quick break here for the news. When we return, we'll have Bruce on the line. Bruce, I hope you'll stay with us. In the meantime, you get in touch with us, too. Our Facebook page is up. Twitter feed is up as well, and you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
A persistent death toll in an unexpected place.
My son died in terror. He didn't die in peace. He died in terror. And it didn't have to happen.
Parents grieve for sons dying in grain bins, and they claim regulators go easy on employers defying the law. Later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOI News. A former teacher accused of cheating on Indiana Standardized Student Achievement Test has sued the school district she says forced her out of her job and ruined her reputation. The Journal Gazette reports today that Laura Farner filed the suit against Southwest Allen County Schools, the school board, and the district superintendent. The suit filed Friday in Allen County Court seeks a hearing before the school board for Farner to clear her name. Court documents say the district stated a Summit Middle School teacher violated protocol on the state's annual I-STEP test in March 2011, causing test scores for 120 seventh graders to be invalidated. Farner denies cheating. The district declined to comment. Bedford Republican Senator Brent Steele says he remains confident the legislature will pass a bill overhauling the state's criminal code, despite Governor Mike Pence voicing concerns about the measure's impact. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has more.
Governor Mike Pence's main issue with the bill is its reduction of penalties for low-level drug offenders. Those behind the criminal code reform effort want to focus more on rehabilitation. But Pence says the state must remain tough on drugs and work to reduce crime, not penalties. Anderson Democratic Representative Terry Austin has similar concerns about the bill. She says she's particularly worried about shifting more burden onto the court system and hopes the bill will be changed to improve the funding structure of the state's criminal justice system.
Is there a way we can reduce the amount of money we send to incarceration and put more resources towards what I call rehabilitation and reentry programs, community corrections and others.
But Republican Senator Brent Steele, the bill's sponsor, says the legislation has been crafted by prosecutors, judges, public defenders, and law enforcement over the last 4 years.
We're not going to change the bill this year. We can't, because we've got a balance right now where the prosecuting attorneys and the public defenders are in agreement with it. So if we change anything, any aspect of this bill, it's going to derail it.
Steele says the legislation doesn't take effect until July of 2014, which lets the legislature pass the bill this year and make necessary changes next session. The bill will be in a Senate committee Tuesday. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And consumers would face tighter limits on the quantities they could buy of cold and allergy pills often used to make meth under a proposal approved by Indiana lawmakers. The House voted 91-1 Monday in favor of the bill that would limit the annual purchase of pseudoephedrine-based products to about 61 grams a person. That's about an 8-month supply of the current law's monthly limit. Supporters say the new limits will make it more difficult for meth makers to obtain the medications without penalizing people who need them for legitimate health reasons. Also, statewide tornado drills are set for Wednesday morning and Wednesday evening. The National Weather Service, Indiana State Police, the Indiana Broadcasters Association, and other state and local agencies will conduct a statewide test of emergency communication systems on Wednesday between 10 and 10:30 a.m. and between 7:30 and 8 p.m. The Weather Service says the tornado drill will be postponed to Thursday if weather conditions warrant. You're listening to Midday Matters Financial Focus on 89.1 FM WBOY.
WBOY 12:37, it's Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. This is the Financial Focus edition of our program. With me, of course, Susan Burns. Susan, thanks very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. I'm excited to see all the input from our listeners this afternoon.
Yeah, this hour we're talking about the car buying process, and of course we'll get into the art of the deal just a little bit later here. Meantime, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us and share your car buying tips, your tricks, maybe some horror stories that we can learn from as well. 260-452-1185, toll free 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. We have a few emails to get to here, but first, let's get to a very patient caller. We've got Bruce on the line. Bruce, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon, Sue. Good afternoon, Sean. Very good show,
Bruce,
as always, that you guys have.
Oh, thank you so much.
I would just like to recommend different tips on different things. I use Edmunds.com a lot to research a vehicle and for prices. It's very informative. And from Edmunds, there's car forums that you can go to. So if you know your specific car, you can go to those forums and find out the niches of the vehicle, good, bad, positive, and what breaks and what doesn't break and so forth. So those forums are great. Another thing that you want to check out, too, when you're buying a car, is think of this as a price is of value. It's the safety features from, you know, like side impact bags to vehicle stability to, you know, a lot of different safety features. They come back on your insurance and they save you money down the road. That's a big part of what you got to watch out for today, especially when buying used vehicles and new. Another thing I'd recommend, too, is the Allen County Public Library has the NADA books. And again, like that first gentleman said, knowing what they sold for and what the market price in your area is a very valuable tool, so you have that leverage of going in to make the art of the deal, too. Again, that's some of the things I think of, and they'll look at your fuel economy, too, because these are all expenses down the road that you pay daily and monthly on. So,
yeah.
And also, I think financing, one more thing would be to go to your credit union. They offer great interest rates.
Sure, absolutely. And a whole lot there. Susan, I know you wanted to pop in.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up, Bruce, the concept of the total cost of ownership kind of aspects of things. That in the computer world, people call that TACO. So you make a good point about there's the purchase price, and then there's the operating price to consider in the whole thing too. Yeah. Good point.
A lot of thumbs up to your tips right now, Bruce. So we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. Take care.
All right.
Lovely show. Bye.
Thank you. 260-452-1185. Toll free 800-471-9264. 9264. And I mentioned just now, Steve Morgan, a lot of thumbs up there just now. A lot of good tips.
You have good callers, Sean.
we tend to think so.
I think I heard pain in one of those voices, though, from that prior experience.
We've got a couple of emails here as well. Of course, our email address, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Anita says, just a reminder to get your credit report from your bank or your credit union prior to car shopping so you can take it with you. Fewer hits on your credit this way. Thanks so much, Anita. We've talked about it on the program before. Always, always, always keep up on your credit report. Steve, let's get into maybe the juiciest part of our conversation here. The art of the deal. Let's say you've got a vehicle in mind. You've got a price range in mind. Maybe even a very specific price. You walk. Let's assume for a moment you're going to a lot. Take us through this process a little bit in terms of from meeting the sales rep to getting, you know, getting a handshake deal.
Sure. And the eager sales rep is probably the first person you'll encounter on the lot. And the role of that person is really to get you inside to make the deal. But what the positive things they're doing for you are to familiarize you with the features of the car, which might be safety and fuel related, as we heard from the prior caller, and to give you an opportunity to drive the car. We can talk about test driving if you want, because that's a real important part of this. But the role of the salesperson really is to get you in the box, as they call it, to make a deal. And there will be other people you encounter along the way, usually a sales manager or maybe another sales rep who is more experienced than the newbie out on the lot. And so it can be quite a gauntlet you run between that first handshake on the lot and buying the car. But if you've done your homework, if you know what the car should cost, if you know what the financing should be, if you know your credit score, as the last caller advised, because they're probably going to tell you your credit's really bad when it isn't, or hopefully when it isn't, and try to put you into a higher price loan than you want to be in, and so forth. So again, if you've done your homework, you can be a lot more confident about this rather complex process of buying a car. Once you've narrowed your choice to two or three vehicles and done your pricing research and so forth, you've still only done about half the work. Because even if you come to terms on a deal with the salesperson and the sales manager, and we can talk about their Foursquare system and some other issues, But once you've come to a deal, the deal isn't fully done until you've seen the finance and insurance officer in the back room. That's sort of like a closing in a real estate transaction where all of the real paperwork is signed and where they will probably try to sell you financing and insurance and aftermarket options and rust coating. And some of those things can be useful, and some of them are sort of bogus these days. So again, wherever your listeners want to go with this, but I say, you know, the deal isn't done until you've either got the title or you're sure it's on its way. And I even encourage people, do not drive off in the vehicle based on contingent financing. So there are all kinds of little traps. It's exciting. You're buying a new or newer car.
And we were talking over the break, it should be exciting.
It should be fun, but it's a lot more fun, first of all, if you're not buying more than you can comfortably afford. And it's fun if you've done your homework. If you just show up totally unprepared, the dealership has a system for taking care of people who haven't done their homework, and they're going to guide you through the process, and it will all be done on their terms and their schedule.
We're talking about the art of making that deal when you're car buying, and we want to hear your tips and tricks, maybe a few horror stories as well. 260-452-1185, toll-free, 800-471-9264. We have an email to get to here, as well as a caller on the line. Steve, I want to dig into a few of those issues more specifically in just a moment. First, though, we've got, looks like we've got Kristen on the line. Do I have that right?
Kristen.
Kristen, excuse me. Welcome to Midday Matters. You're on the air.
I just wanted to tell you that there's a company here in town that analyzes the oil in a car. So if you're thinking about buying something it's not as important for if you're buying a new car, but if you're going to buy something used, either from the dealer or from an individual in the community, you can test the oil beforehand and then find out if there's anything wrong with the engine. So it's sort of a way to see the things that you can't just see with the naked eye.
Wow. And Steve Morgan, this sounds kind of like a DNA test for the car.
Well, I'm not a mechanic, but I know there in the old days you'd see a lot of mechanics sniffing the oil, and they could determine a lot just by the appearance and the smell of the oil. I certainly the oil can reveal some things about the vehicle, but I don't know if it can reveal as much after it's just been changed before the vehicle's been put up on the lot for sale. So, but it might reveal if there's metal in the oil, which could suggest some mechanical wear and tear. So that's certainly what I would say is if you're buying a used vehicle, whether from a private party, from a used car dealer, or from a new car dealer, certainly have your trusted mechanic check it out before you agree to the deal. Even if there are problems and you decide to go ahead with it, at least you'll know what's coming your way down the road. But even with a new car, I think I would suggest that you do a quick Carfax check or something else to make sure that there are no flood or title issues or any surprises down the road.
Kristen, we appreciate the tip. Thanks so much.
Yep. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. We need to take just a quick break here, then we'll continue our conversation with our car geek, Steve Morgan. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
After England and France went to war with Germany in 1939, there was a ferocious debate in America over whether the U.S. should come to their aid or go even further and enter the war. On the next Fresh Air, we talk about the isolationists and interventionists with Lynn Olson, author of Those Angry Days, Roosevelt, Lindbergh, and America's Fight Over World War II. Join us this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Advisa, helping businesses of all sizes improve hiring, leadership, strategy, and sales through data analytics and personalized services. More information at AdvisaUSA.com.
Minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, this is Midday Matters Financial Focus on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and we're talking this hour with Steve Morgan about the car buying process, trying to make it a little less intimidating, maybe even a little bit fun. Who knew? We want you to get in touch with us with your tips and tricks for finding a great price on a great car. And if you have any horror stories you want to share, well, we'll take those as well and learn from those as well. 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Our email is up and ready. It's middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can also post on our Facebook page or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And Susan Burns, we got an email here from Jack.
We do. It's kind of long, but I really like some of the story he's telling here, and so I'm just going to read as much of it as we can get in here. Jack says, when we bought my wife her last car, she did her research, narrowed her list to a select list of possible types using factors such as fuel economy, safety, how it fit into her needs. And after months of test driving cars, sounds like a gal after my own heart, she finally settled on a model she liked in the price range we wanted to pay. And then we got to the haggling. And as a previous caller mentioned, you do have to be ready to walk away in order to get your deal. But even after walking away, you can still come back. The dealerships seem to understand the art of haggling quite well. Jack says his trick that he brought to the table was sending out a pricing request to dealerships all over the state who had an online presence and asking for their best price bids. He provided a little bit of information to the dealers about the price he had been given by local dealers. And then he took that back to the local dealers and with the idea that he would prefer to buy local if they could come in on the same relative price range. And so it seemed to work, and the local dealership dropped their price significantly.
Casting a wide net and doing some good comparison
walking
shopping.
Walking away, there. Playing tough. And then, and Steve, I think you had a few points you wanted to make in terms of things to watch out for when you're doing that comparison shopping. Maybe we mentioned checking in with a Better Business Bureau and ways to protect yourself in terms of using the online resources.
Right. I mean, we've mentioned the Carfax as a way to check vehicle history. It's not absolutely guaranteed that all information is posted there. For example, let's say you have a fender bender and you pay the repair yourself and it never becomes a public record, it never becomes an insurance record. That might be omitted from a Carfax report. But by and large, if there's something big like a flood salvage title, where the car's been totaled, those things are likely to show up on Carfax. The local Better Business Bureau, I would, especially if you're not dealing with a very well-known, reputable organization, maybe with prior experience or good word of mouth, I would make sure that there are no big negatives by calling the Better Business Bureau and checking out that that firm you're thinking of doing business with. I also wanted to say the advice from that email was excellent. I like that they took their time, they did their homework, and that they cast the wide net that John mentioned. We've got an internet these days. There's no reason not to use it. And you don't really have to run yourself from lot to lot all over town. Wealthy people or busy people often buy cars without ever setting foot on a car lot. They do it through either the fleet offices of dealerships, or they talk to the internet manager. If they're wealthy enough, they have a business manager who just does it for them. But it doesn't mean that the rest of us can't learn by using some of the electronic tools out there.
Sure.
And it looks like we have one more caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Chuck. Chuck, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, how are you today?
Very well. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Say, I have a question. How do your guests feel about extended warranties, in particular on late model used cars from reputable dealerships?
Steve Morgan, let's put that to you. Extended warranties on late model vehicles.
I think that's a personal decision as well. I never buy extended warranties because as much as I love cars, I don't drive a lot. And usually I rely on either the new car warranty or if there's a used car warranty offered that I'm not paying additional for, that usually gets me through. I certainly have the car inspected to know what's coming my way. But let's say you buy a new or used vehicle. There's a warranty that's either miles or time. In my case, the warranty runs out because of time passing. But for people who do a lot of miles, they might actually get some benefit from an extended warranty because they may be putting on more than the average of 15,000 miles a year, maybe 20, 30,000 or more. They might get some value out of that. But even if you buy an extended warranty or what are more often called service contracts now, because they're not warranted by the manufacturer, they're warranted by another company. Shop around. They're not all priced the same, even for the same protection. Make sure you're doing an apples-to-apples comparison. Don't just assume that the dealer is giving you the best bet. And negotiate the price on that, too. Often, dealers will start quoting prices on service contracts that are twice as high as they have to be.
Chuck, we appreciate the question. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the help.
All right. Bye-bye. Steve, we only have about 5 minutes left in the program here. I wanted to get into some of the pitfalls, some of the traps folks might encounter when they're sitting down with a sales rep to get that deal done. Not implying that all reps or right. all car folks are trying to get at you, but I know there are some folks who are. What are some of the big, I guess let's call them traps, that folks can fall into as they're negotiating a deal?
And by the way, I'm not sure I could be a salesman of cars because it's a tough job. You're on your feet a lot, and you deal with a lot of wily people yourself. And I've even had to apologize to a salesman once or twice during the test drive because I test that car, and the poor guy or gal's probably wondering if they're going to get home alive. But
reminds me of a video that's out right now with Jeff Gordon in disguise. Oh my.
But I would say one of my big don'ts is don't be a payment buyer. What that means is most sales offices will want to talk about what do you want your monthly payment to be. Well, payment doesn't tell you anything about the interest rate, the length of the loan, and any upfront costs and so forth. And most people hopefully don't want to have a payment all of the time. They want to buy the car and own it free and clear or for a while anyway. Focus on the price of the vehicle you're buying and not on what the payment is going to be. If you've done your homework about interest rates and financing, then you're already going to know what payment you're likely to get at a good loan for the car priced to your liking. So don't be a payment buyer. That's one trap to avoid.
Mm-hmm. We're talking over one of the breaks here about one of the more, I guess, notorious efforts. We've heard about the Foursquare. It's called the Foursquare. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Or we could call it whack-a-mole.
We'll call it whack-a-mole. Yes.
Because what the Foursquare is, and not all dealerships use this anymore, but I think most still do. It's literally a piece of paper with four squares on it, and one square usually shows the price that they're asking for the vehicle. One square shows the payment amount. One square shows the down payment they want, and one square shows the value of the trade if you're trying to trade. And that already puts four numbers on the page, and they keep them moving during the negotiation. You may say you want such and such a price, so they may lower the price, and then suddenly you found that the value of your trade is also lower. Hmm. Or you may find that you've said, I want such and such a payment, but suddenly you get close to the payment you want, but the other three numbers have changed. They may either want a bigger down payment, meaning you're financing less, or they may be asking more for the car, or they may be giving you less for your trade. So if you can isolate these four factors, the price of the car, the value of your trade if you choose to trade or sell it outright or keep or whatever your choices are there, know what the financing charges and interest rates should be. Just isolate each of those things and make sure that they're not just playing whack-a-mole with you. By the way, during this process, there will be a lot of running back and forth of the sales rep to and from his sales manager.
Got to run this upstairs?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And that's really the decision. There are two decision makers, the guy in the tower or in the glass office who's observing all of this, and you, the buyer, you're the other decision. You both have veto power over this deal. And while I don't cop an attitude when I go in to buy a car. In fact, like I said, I actually enjoy the process. But I do always remember that I have veto power. If I'm not getting the deal I want, I can walk.
We're just about out of time here, but I'd like to thank you, our car geek, Steve Morgan, for being with us this afternoon. Also, I'd like to thank our listeners for lots of great questions, lots of great interaction. We hope you'll stay with us throughout the week for all of our Midday Matters programs. Also, big thanks to State Impact Indiana's Ellie Moxley. Of course, State Impact, a partnership between NPR and Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations. And thanks to you, Susan Burns, for being with us once again.
You're welcome, Sean, and thanks to you for managing all of our calls today.
I'm Sean Veter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Stay with us, Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and your local host, Katie Anderson, is coming up next. It's 1 o'clock. Have a great day.